Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show!
Hello there, I am John Holmes and welcome to the One Show show, something that listener Rick on the iTunes review page described as a wonderful insight into the British oddball TV show The One Show and the way television operates. One day, in the not-too-distant future, The One Show will become self-aware and John Holmes will be our John Connor. Thanks, Rick, and yes, please do review and star us, because apparently that's how the modern world works. But with John Connor in mind, it is time to step back in time by about a week and once again pull apart BBC One's flagship early evening magazine programme that you don't ever watch and never will. And as I say, we're going to pull it apart in much the same way as a child might pull the legs off a spider before growing up to become a serial killer. And what a one-show week it's been. This week, Martin Clunes looks at some dogs, Alex starts to cry, and The One Show films a man laying a cable. Joining me to wonder why is the regular The One Show regular, Mark Haynes, and making his The One Show sofa debut, his new podcast, Ask the Nincompoops, is about to launch. He's also author of the Mr. Gum series of children's books, which are voiced by Kate Winslet in audio form, but she wasn't available. So today, is that not true?
It used to be true. I've redone them all, and they're really good now.
Right. Andy Stanton there. Andy Stanton. He sounds a little bit like Kate Winslet, as yeah. He made a face when I said that.
A bit. But to be fair, I'm no good in Titanic.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I can't really imagine her doing justice to your books.
Let's move on.
Okay, fine. So anyway, welcome, Andy. It's good to have you here.
Thanks
so,
for having me.
You know, as rightly so, we'll let you begin. Regular One Show listener, first time to it for this? Seen it ever before?
I have seen it before. I'm not a regular viewer, you know, because that sentence need an end.
Not no. really.
I have seen it. And I think when I was on Twitter years ago, I'm back on Twitter now, but I think I tweeted that, like, it would play in hell 24/7. So, yeah, so I wasn't a big fan. So this was the first time I've revisited it in a long time.
Kate Winslet loves it. So where did you come into it this week? So much to talk about. So much happened. Did you start on Monday?
I watched Monday's episode and then I watched Thursday's episode.
Right.
So I thought, well, let's get both ends of the rainbow.
Yeah. Well, let's start, I suppose, with a bit of Monday. So what do we make of Monday?
Well, it was immediately offensive to some of my senses. It was very garish. You know, the music is just like having soap rubbed in your eyes, I'm sorry. And then the jumpers are a bit like having soap rubbed in your eyes. And then the neon is a bit like having soap rubbed in your eyes. It was quite cartoonishly headachey. And they had Jonah Lumley and Ian Hislop.
They did.
On the sofa from the start. And they went straight into an awful anecdote from Ian Hislop that was about nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember what? Are you saying it's about nothing?
It was about nothing.
Was there any flavour of what the nothing was about?
No, I can't remember. I mean, I was watching it with a view to talking about it. I was even taking notes. I'm consulting my notes, but that's what
still
it says.
Can't remember.
It says it was about literally nothing.
It started that show. It was quite an interesting one because they don't do this often, but they started by championing a brand new feature.
Oh.
Okay, so this was Alex and Matt, you know, the Dream Team presenting. I got a new feature called You Know Who You Are.
Now, let's just stop. Let's not race into this because people will be thinking, I know what a TV feature is.
Yeah.
And a TV feature on something like The One Show will be, we've got a title and then there'll be some business around it and it will have a conclusion. This was just a title.
I didn't even hear that. Was that on Monday's show?
Yeah. It was the first thing they said.
They pitched that.
I love that you zoned out even before it began.
My first notes are, I'm immediately offended. No seconds in and I'm offended. So I did zone out. I guess that might be my reaction to offence.
You really missed one of the great TV features of recent memory.
Oh, I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything that tops this.
I'll have to watch it again.
Well, we can explain it to you.
Yeah, please do.
And that will save you having to go back.
Which is much to the raison d'etre of this podcast. Never what.
And it represents a member of the audience.
Yeah, very much so.
But it just immediately scrambled me. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, go on. What was it that I missed?
It's a feature called You Know Who You Are.
Yes.
And the feature, it's only short. What they did was they told a story about a woman called Audrey Wood.
Oh!
Was that about the flowers and the dementia?
Yes!
Oh, I didn't realise
that. The flowers and the dementia, guy!
I didn't hear the kind of you know who you are bit.
If they'd have called it flowers and dementia, that would have sounded like a late period Woody Allen film.
It's flowers and dementia. What?
I was concentrating on the gestalt of it and on the studio audience.
Neither
that's quite thin, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it reminded me of like old shows like Tiz was, where you can hear the crew getting stuck in and going,
That was a good thing about Tiz Wars. Yeah. I kind of like that about Tiz Wars.
Sure. Okay, so this was a feature and it was a story about a woman.
We are being unfair, Andy, because we are saying, like The One Show did, this was a feature.
Yeah.
It wasn't a feature. It was an anecdote.
Yeah.
That's all it really was.
But they were trying to turn it into a feature.
Right.
They were saying, if this woman can do it, then you can do it.
We should explain what it is. Yeah. So you know who you are. This was a lady who was at a supermarket cafe.
Yeah.
With her husband, who suffers from Parkinson's.
Yes. Yeah.
And another lady had come over having seen how she was looking after her husband, and she'd given her some flowers.
Yeah.
The sum up line on that, after that little story, was, we don't know who that lady is, but
You know who you are. Now, I missed that was supposed to be a future feature.
Oh, no. I don't think it is.
The nerve to say that was a feature.
They also had the nerve to assume she was watching.
Yes, absolutely.
Although, to be fair, if you're the sort of person that buys flowers for someone who's caring for their partner with Parkinson's in a supermarket cafe, you probably watch. That's the demographic.
Here's why I was partly baffled. I heard the word like dementia. And I thought, they're going to... Because, you know, I do know what The One Show is.
Mm.
Actually, that's a bold claim. But, but you know what I mean. I know what it does. And I thought they were about to lead into a dementia thing. So I was all set for that. And I've been re-watching loads of Louis Theroux lately, right? And the last one I watched before watching The One Show was an in-depth look at dementia. I thought, this will be interesting. What a comparison between the Louis Theroux dementia thing and this thing on Parkinson's disease. And I got my all set up for this segment. And it was just this story about flowers. And then everyone in the audience went, So I was immediately lost. And then what we did instead was go to a thing about fish lice on salmon in Scotland.
I mean, one of the classic One Show films.
It was absolute textbook One Show, wasn't it? I even took some pictures during this, right? Because you're so Joanna Lumley is sitting next to Ian Hislop on the sofa, waiting to plug their things.
Yeah,
and then they go, "Okay, so first we're going to Scotland." I was like, "Not another fucking film from Scotland." Every week they shoot a film in Scotland.
They must know someone.
We know they're on the shelf waiting to go. Get us another Scottish film. Come on, another one. We've done enough fucking Hebrides.
I think they're actually trying to use them up before Scotland goes independent.
That would make sense. They've probably got a stockpile of films that aren't time-dependent as well that they can show.
But if you watch it carefully, and I did keep pausing it because I was enjoying it so much. So there's a film about Scottish salmon lice. I know it sounds fascinating. I know. Rush now to the iPlayer. Get thee to the iPlayer.
A couple of things, John. You're overselling this film. Because it was about specifically 81 Scottish fish.
I've got the line. In all, 81 mature salmon were confirmed dead.
81!
And it's not just in Scotland.
They made a film about it.
It was specifically on the Isle of Lewis, which is again not part of the mainland, right? So
man trips over Twigs.
It's a film crew.
Let's not sensationalise, John, the film that they produced.
Can I just say they were called sea lice at one point, I think, but at another point they were called fish lice. I don't think they were ever called salmon lice. Just for your information.
I did actually do a bit of research into sea lice. Oh. Because having watched the film, I'm more on their side than the salmon. I thought they were quite fascinating. They are a parasite that literally eats the host alive.
That's right.
And they work
That's
from...
an unsuccessful parasite, though, isn't it?
Yes. But I suppose there's plenty more fish in the sea.
Okay. Oh, bye, everyone.
But only in Lewis.
Yeah. I looked at them, and basically, the Wikipedia says sea lice are a big mystery. We don't really know very much about them. We don't know what they want. We don't know what they call each other.
What they stand for.
Yeah. they seem to stand for getting on with their own lives and doing what they do, onto fish.
Okay. It's the one show, basically, televisual lice. You've just sort of described where it latches onto television and feeds off it, killing it slowly.
In all, 81 mature viewers were confirmed dead.
They give you the feeling where you just go, well, I mean, is it bad? It's bad, I suppose. What am I supposed to do about it? I don't know anyone from the Isle of Lewis. I don't know anyone in the fishing industry. I don't know anyone who operates a commercial salmon farm.
I haven't got any context for it beyond this. But no. This tallies with my thoughts. My first note on this segment was, it was disgusting. but what I really found, again, this word's going to come up a lot, baffling, was like why I was suddenly watching this documentary. It didn't seem uninteresting.
But it didn't seem like something I'd chosen. It was just there.
One of the guys they interviewed, one of the fish farmers, I think, had a brilliant line. He described the fish as obviously on their last legs, which seemed like some commentary on evolution more than anything. A bit out of date.
I took these pictures, right? So I was watching it and I was like, I can't believe it. And they did the film. The film was over, right? And then they went back. And now I wrote down that they did 9 minutes on this.
Yeah,
right?
it was much too long.
And in a half hour show, that's a pretty long time. But on fucking sea
lice. But hold on a second, guys. You say it's too long. My feeling was, it might be too short. That's what I mean, right? Maybe it's like you see this and you think, maybe this is a thing, but wouldn't it deserve an hour?
I'm not saying I could watch it. I'm just saying, like, because they just
go into these things like they're so grave. And I noticed this a lot. They make extensive use in their segments of sinister arpeggios on harps to tell you that it's a bad thing.
Very good.
Yeah. Or everything they did.
They came back to the sofa where the reporter, you know, as they do, the reporter's sitting back on 9 minutes.
And then they get him to do another 5.
I know. Yeah.
You've got Lumley and Hislop on the sofa.
But did you see, this is what I took a picture of, Hislop's face, right? Put it on my Twitter, right? We should tweet it out from our account, the One Show Show account, which is called The One Show Show because you can't get enough characters to put the whole name in on Twitter.
But
essentially, Hislop, he was actually leaning back away from the reporter who was going on about sea lice on salmon, looking at him with this, just like we're looking now, like, what the fuck? And then Lumley, it cut to a wide shot, Lumley's not even listening, she's yawning.
I've got some theories, right? Firstly, I take issue with Hislop's reaction. I thought Hislop, facially at least, he may have been leaning back, I didn't clock that. I think facially he was trying too hard to look into it. He was secretly thinking up gags for if it had been a segment on Have I Got News For You, a question about fish lice, right? Well, I think some of the people in Parliament are like it. But he was actually trying to look concerned. I agree that Lumley was doing something close to a yawn. Right? I said Lumley dropped the mask for a second and looked bored. But then I had another theory, right? I thought maybe she was just disgusted. But because it seems to me, and I don't know, I didn't Google this, that she might be the kind of person who's just really against fish farms. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, entirely.
Sounds like it.
Like, because probably, you know...
Fish farms and Gurkhas, that's her thing, isn't it? She loves them, hates them.
Right.
Maybe she hates fish that much. That's why she was trying to build that garden bridge.
Maybe. It's hard to know without having her here in the studio, but maybe next week.
It did lead me to the thing I've learned this week. So we're like, what have we learned from the one show? So I learned something during this feature.
Okay.
This was when the man on the sofa, the reporter, well, here's the weird thing about it, right? They didn't ask any more questions based on this sentence, right? Because for me, this was opening up an avenue that actually is interesting. He said, well, they're pretty close now up here to getting the machinery up and running that turns dead salmon into fuel.
Wow.
And I was like, What machinery is this?
Why is it specifically salmon?
I know.
Would it not work with like goldfish?
Also,
don't be a dolt.
But yeah, like sort of in my head, I had this sort of the plot of the next James Bond film where some Captain Birdseye has got this
fish fire.
Yeah, and he's sort of like, I can turn this into fuel.
So, Mr. Salmon Munger, thank you. That's all right.
Worth pointing out, the other question they asked was a brilliant one because Alex said, so can sea lice affect the quality of the fish we're eating? You could see the reporter go,
I haven't really wondered.
Oh, Jesus, this is the law. No, not this question.
I don't know.
And the answer is no, they cannot.
And he's in the pocket of Big Salmon.
It undercut entirely his big piece about this is a real danger thing. Yeah, this is a real problem. Huge problem. You know who it's a problem for? It's a problem for the salmon. And the reason we're concerned with it is because we don't want sea lice eating the salmon because we want to eat the salmon. The salmon is basically screwed either way.
Are they, though? I mean, I reckon you could still get a salmon that had sea lice. If it's not a problem, still farm the salmon. We still get to eat it. You just scrape off, they scrape off the lice before we eat them. Who cares?
Maybe the lice are also delicious.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't an hour documentary after all.
Flied lice. Racist. So, while we're on the subject of being...
That was John, by the way. not Andy, the children's author.
Andy, it always is me on this.
Okay.
So, another element of undermining on this week was on, Thursday's show, where there was a feature about... Well, this also brings me to Handbrake's Over the Week example, right?
Right.
There's a bit where they came out of one film where Anita Rani is smashing windows of Harvey Nichols in London with permission.
Right.
We'll get onto this, right?
Yeah, we will.
We've all made notes. To talk about suffragettes and women oppression. Uh-huh. Right? Fair enough. However, they then came out of that, as they do, did a tiny featurette for something else in the middle, and then did a Handbrake turn. So it went like this. Mm. Anita Rani there, smashing windows at Harvey Nichols, and Alex went, well, it's good of Harvey Nichols to let them. And then they went, so, University Challenge. The two, remember those two guys who got a bit celebrity out of University Challenge?
Yes, a couple of years ago.
Then Eric Burden, no, what was his name? Eric
the Animals was the lead singer of the Animals.
Not Eric Burden, no, not him.
Was he any good on University Challenge?
He was definitely not any good on University Challenge.
There were three questions on the Animals, and he was okay.
He got two of them.
Anyway, Eric and someone, they were everywhere at the time. They said, we've got them on next week, so send us your tricky questions for them. Then Matt went from that, he just went, right, on we go. The invasive species, the Himalayan balsam, is such a threat to Britain's wildlife that there are regular balsam smashing parties.
Regular balsam smashing parties.
But it was all to do with making gin out of this invasive plant. Right. So, here's the undermining. Afterwards, of course, on their table, they'd got a load of different gins from around the place that they were all tasting. And the reporter, who'd done this entire report on collecting the flowers from this invasive Himalayan balsam to make gin out of it, said this on the television to Matt. Well, I'm willing to wager that none of you have tasted Himalayan balsam gin before. And Matt went, well, I have. This is her big moment. And that's her way in, going, here's one. Yeah. Then he went, I have. Then he went, because actually I know Ben, the distiller.
Oh, of course he does. Of course he does.
And you think, you poor woman. And she, the look on her face is like, I hate you. But, I hate you, Matt.
Sorry, this has brought up a couple of thoughts for me. Mm. Firstly, I noticed that, because I was looking for Handbrake turns, you guys had flagged that up for something that we might talk about. And I noticed that they put that little thing about the University Challenge trivia questions in before they went to the balsam turns, right? Like you said.
Yeah.
My question is, do you think they've been listening to this podcast and they're trying to massage the segues a bit?
We said this last week. They're harder to find
it
now.
It is so noticeable. And do you know what? We had it in the first season. We do make a point. Season. Because we're an American podcast that's thrilling.
We're sponsored by Squarespace.
Leaser mattress. We made the point of saying, if you put the brakes on, you can then restart and it gives you a non-handbrake turn.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And honestly, since we've started doing this again, I haven't seen one this week. I haven't watched all the episodes.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a single handbrake turn. And all I am saying is, we have to invoice them for that consultancy work.
I just think maybe it's charity work. It's good. It might contribute to some sort of mental health for the nation to not be confronted with these absolute U-turns.
There was another one where Josh Groban was on.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, well, but there was a handbrake turn where they went, well, no, because Josh Groban...
He
the
massaged the turn. Is that what
he
you're going to say?
He
massaged the fucking turn. It came off of a segment on Thursday's show about doctors being bullied at the NHS. And basically, in, I guess, what we might now call pre-the one show time, yeah, they might have just gone, now let's go to see Josh Groban's new album, right? But here, they let Josh talk about how he was bullied before he went into his piano plug,
well, no,
right?
That's true. They do that a lot. What they do is, I think, is they do send researchers in. You know, Josh Groban's in his dressing room, a researcher has to go in and go, so were you ever bullied?
Yeah.
And so I think they do plan around it, where they do try and get the guest involved in a thing that's utterly unrelated to them.
Right.
That is true. So Josh Groban, right? Pianist, singer-songwriter, right? Huge, isn't
he? Yeah. I never heard of him before. That's the thing I learned off the One Show this week. There is a man called Josh Groban. I just hadn't.
I know of him, and I know he's beloved by his fans, and he seems like a dude. I don't know what he sings, and I don't know where he sings.
Well, I can tell you where he sings. Uh-huh. He sings on The One Show, because they started this show. This is Thursday's show. It was a strange, it was a weird beginning.
It was a weird show.
Wasn't it? It was a weird beginning to the show. It was scripted in a sort of act. They had to act.
It was a gag. It was a prop gag.
Yeah.
They had the presenters listening to some classical music and getting all wind blown.
Eyes closed.
Yeah, euphoric, blissful, going, oh, it gives me goosebumps. And they pull back to reveal, oh, they weren't really wind blown and got goosebumps from the music. It was because a man with a fan was standing on the stage blowing cold air at them.
However, the fan wasn't plugged in or going round.
Was it not?
No. There was a sound effect of a fan, right? And if you looked at it, the blades weren't going round. It was just an off fan. So a man in a parka was holding a fan.
Didn't get clearance for the on switch, huh?
Exactly. Health and safety. A man in a parka was holding a fan next to Alex, and the camera pulled out to show her getting goosebumps, not from the music, but from the not-on fan. But attached to the front of the fan...
I'm hurting.
Right? You know when you tie streamers to the front of the fan to, you know, to show
it's working?
Yeah. What they've done is done that, but they mocked it up with silver foil.
Right.
So it was solid streamers made of silver foil. So it was hanging out the bottom of the front of a fan.
Did you get that on I don't know what you call this, a virgin viewing, or did you rewind?
Oh, no, I got that straight away.
Did
you?
Yeah. I totally missed it.
I rewound to check, and so the noise of a fan, the blades weren't going round.
Wow.
Clearly, silver foil pretending to be streaming to stood erect.
That's a lot of work that could have been taken care of by plugging in and using the fan.
Exactly, and I'm sort of going,
another thing to do is maybe don't do the segment.
Yeah.
It's just not very good segment.
But someone had to make... Someone in the afternoon, they obviously went to some runner or work experience, go, can you sort of stick silver foil to the front of this fan? Bunch up silver foil so it's like solid unicorn horns and somehow fix it to the grill of a fan.
I'm going to ask, was that Matt and Alex doing that?
Matt was joining in.
I always get the impression that Matt doesn't do the joining in, because often they give Ori Aduba a bit of comedy to do at the top.
Yeah, they do.
As if you're the new boy and you need a bit of a hand to get to the level that Matt's usually operating at.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. I thought Matt had more dignity.
No, he has no dignity. He
presents the One Show.
We also saw another face from behind the scenes. You know, we talked about this last week.
Yeah, I'll get the book of retribution out.
Was it Adam the cameraman
last
week?
Yeah.
So this week it's Dave the props guy. Get it, write it down.
Dave.
Is he the one holding the fan?
He's on that. So the camera pulled out. Matt's going, you weren't goosebumped because of the beautiful music. It's because you're holding a fan. She went, Dave.
Right, Dave
and then
is going in the book.
She went, just frame him out. To Adam, probably. Frame him out. And then sort of zoomed in and began to cut him out. This guy's just holding this
I'm going to add, just under the crimes column, I'm going to just put fan and we'll remember what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you're keeping a record of this, right? Because you must be getting in some way inured to this stuff. But for me, it's like I'm a skittle and the One Show is a big bowling ball of what now?
That is a great description of it. Then they went to Josh Groban, because the whole thing's about music make you upset and so Josh Groban, right, I don't really like Josh Groban, he's not my thing. Anyway, so he played a song and it was lovely.
It was lovely.
I mean, I fast forwarded through it.
I was forgetting it as it played in real time.
I mean, I just fast forwarded, didn't even listen to it.
But it was lovely.
Because they put the lights down, you see. I knew when it stopped because they came back up again.
Oh, they can put the lights down, but they can't use a fan.
He was doing the song, but Alex and Matt were leaning on the piano, not even a foot away from him, staring at him throughout the whole song. And then it finished, and then they said, "That's very, it is really, really good." And then He just played another one.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did.
And I was like, hang on a minute.
He played half his album.
He has got agents on this. He has got good agents.
And off-the-shelf films. And then, you're absolutely right, he played a third one, which was a cover of Bridge Over Troubled Water. Three Josh Groban songs. It took up most of the first half of the programme.
The first half.
And then Alex cried her eyes out.
Did she?
On the telly.
Maybe she was thinking about all the sea lice films we'd never get to see.
Maybe she cried her eyes out, but then they pull back to show that there's a bloke with a knife stabbing into her arm. It wasn't the music.
Someone's
mauling me. Can I talk about Matt? What's his name? Groban? Matt?
No, Josh Groban.
Oh, sorry, Josh Groban. Yeah, the reason I was calling him Matt was he's very urbane and preppy. And I've never heard of this man before. But now he's a thing. I had to Google as I was watching to see if it was Groban or Grogan. Mm-hmm. So I literally never... He was very urbane, very preppy. He reminded me of Matt Hooper from Jaws, played by Richard Dreyfuss, right? Because he's very sort of... very calming to listen to. And I can't do this accent. So he plays this spiritual thing. His own... It was all about how he goes down to the river. Go to the river. And it's quite gospelly and spiritually, right? Mm. It wasn't very good. It was just they said what, you know, what's the inspiration for that? And he said, oh, you know, I was walking with my dog down at the river one day,
and this sort of wholesome,
but yeah, and then it sort of, this popped into my head. But then he also got this thing in about like everybody's got their own river. And it was honestly like those things that people send to each other on the internet all day with a sunset behind them. And like, he spoke in those consistently.
Josh Groban is basically a flesh version of those posters.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
He is the kitten hanging off the twig.
He's all of them. He's all of them.
He is the elephants at sunset.
He might even be the one that generates. I don't know. But he was just a machine for those.
I mean, he says everyone got their own river and everything. Yeah. I mean, that's probably because he doesn't know any poor people anymore. They probably do literally. Own rivers.
But is the river infested with sea lice? No, because there's sea lice.
The fear. Fear of missing out. Fear of going out. Fear of flying. Fear of dying. Imposter syndrome. Spiders. Pipes from Ghostwatch. Dolls with buttons for eyes. We're all scared of something. But what are you scared of? Join me, Sarah Morgan, for The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror. The secret lemonade drinker adverts. Geese. That time on Biker Grove when Ang McParlin got shot in the face with a paintball. In each episode, I interview funny, interesting people I like, people like Phil Jupitus, Alice Lowe, Richard Osman, Riley Silverman, Danielle Ward, about their biggest fears in a judgment-free environment. It is spooktacular.
The Fear.
And remember, do have nightmares because they're an entirely appropriate response to the horrors of modern living.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends, or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Can we talk about Joanna Lumley a bit more?
Yes.
So please. She's been on the Silk Road. So this
worth
was what
saying,
she was.
Actually, I've seen in recent years quite a lot of documentaries where celebrities go down the Silk Road.
But Lumley can command what she wants.
She can. She can. Alex actually chucked that in. Joanna Lumley was saying, oh, yes, we managed to get into Iran, or as it was formerly called, Persia. And Alex said, it's because you're Joanna Lumley. As if the Iranians are also huge fans. They despise the West, but hasn't Joanna Lumley got a beautiful speaking voice? But
she's broken through. She's big there.
Early episodes of Sapphire and Steel are big in Iran.
They're just receiving them now.
She mentioned loads of proper foreign cities in those parts.
Didn't
yeah?
she?
And then, do you know how she described them all? They're all utterly, utterly thrilling. I can't wait for the series.
She did mention about 10 capital cities. Yeah. Well, not capital cities, but major cities.
Yeah.
I think I'd heard of one.
I know. I'd heard of them all once.
Yeah.
Like they all sounded real. I'll give her that. I don't know. I want more than utterly, utterly thrilling. And then she sort of said that, you know, you'd expect them all to be sort of war zones, but they're all just lovely gardens and things. And you're like, are they, Joanna? Or do you just see lovely gardens wherever you go?
Like bridges.
Yeah.
This is worth saying. I mean, this was a very, very boring section. It was like when a neighbour tells you about the holidays. She had seen such wonderful things. And when it's just a lady saying, and the eagle moved so quickly, you sort of go, whatever. Yeah. What have I been doing? You're going to ask that?
It was boring, but it was relieved by two brilliant moments. Firstly, she says that the bits she liked best were the hairy bits up on the hills with shepherds, and everyone in the studio did a dirty laugh.
Everybody.
Everyone. And then she went, no.
Lumley's talking about shepherd's bollocks. But shepherd's bollocks with Joanna Lumley coming to ITV. Oh, they're so thrilling.
Everyone's got shepherd's bollocks in them. But then the other bit that was, this was amazing. This is, I would say, sublime for me.
Mm.
They showed a brief clip from Joanna Lumley's Silk Road show, and it was an enormous eagle taking off of Joanna's hand or something, right? Mm. And it cut back to the studio, and the presenter, what's the woman presenter of one show?
Alex Jones.
This is sublime for me. She goes, they look so nice in slow-mo, don't they? And I just think that's a really human-centric comment to make about an eagle. Like, it's not their job to look so nice in slow-mo. That's not what an eagle's for, not even fucking close.
As if the beauty and majesty of an eagle has never been spotted until we invented slow-mo.
Augmented by this. I mean, they look so nice when they're badly pixelated, don't they? I just that to me was jaw-droppingly insanely wonderful.
It's worth actually pointing out as well, this episode, it was 17 minutes before they began speaking to either Lumley or Hislop. So they'd introduced them at the start, and then there was a 17-minute gap.
It's because of all that massive sea lice chat.
Well, it was, but two big stars.
Yeah.
And then you go, we will be with you in a sec, but we're going to devote more than half the show to sea lice. One show in a nutshell.
About which you both of you have no opinion. We can't get to you to talk about.
They then interrupted Joanna to do a little video package about a thing called Faith Academy.
Oh, God. I wrote this. This was my what point did you zone out of the week? And it was the film about Faith Academy.
I'm zoning out now.
It was about the sermon of the year.
Whoa.
Credit to Matt and Alex when they said, So it's a little contest we're calling Faith Academy. And Matt went, And Alex went, And then it played.
So they know when they've got a stinker on their hands.
But they do. Yeah. The judge was talking to one of the four finalists of the Sermon of the Year, which was organised by Preach magazine.
I like that bit too. Big fan.
The judges were talking to each other, and one of them said, you ask yourself, is this something I want to listen to? My answer is no.
Well, a similar thing, where Carrie, that was the presenter, wasn't it? Carrie said,
I would not want to be a judge. Nope, me neither.
Said, and it's going to be very interesting to see who gets through tonight. No, it literally isn't. It was not interesting
The person who won the Sermon of the Year, their theme was fear. There was one that they were competing against who had a really extended metaphor about being locked in a neighbour's bathroom.
And that was her sermon. But yeah. You never knew where it was. When no, they didn't yeah. show you.
They gave you one line. So as far as I know, one of the sermons was what it's like to get locked in a neighbour's loo. And the other one was you've got to be afraid.
Oh, and one of the women preached like she was from biblical times, like within like an, I don't know, an Aramaic headdress.
Yes, she
like,
did.
But then she took it off for the piece to camera. She was just, a woman from wherever they were.
Yeah.
But when she preached, she did this whole getting into character thing.
A prop.
Like, yeah.
And then it came out with a joke, didn't it? Did you hear Matt Baker's little pun?
Sermon cowl?
Sermon cowl.
Oh,
and then because it's like a competition.
Yeah.
Sermon cowl.
And then Alex turned to him and said, you're going to have to run these past me before you do them on air. telly.
And then Ian Hislop pretended that he was impressed enough by that he'd like to use it.
Yes.
Which was, I think, just throwing a pity bone, really.
There was a great little bit at that last bit. So Ian Hislop talks briefly about this exhibition that's going on, and they, in the last 30 seconds, and I've noted it down because I thought it's a really unfair thing to do in the last 30 seconds, Matt just says, so you've only got a few seconds, but Ian, what's the situation with Boris Johnson? What's going on? And I thought, oh, cheers for dumping me in the shit, Matt. You know, what are we going to do in 30 seconds?
But that
Hislop smashed it out of the park.
But that is what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, you would, that's the one person you could ask to do that and you'll get your 30 seconds of goodness, right?
And boy, oh boy, did they. Hislop just said, well, I think he wrote two letters to his wife. One saying he'd leave. Yeah. Absolutely professional pause. Mm. The other saying he'd remain. Big applause, out it goes.
Yeah.
What was funny about this is it ended with a sort of essentially a joke about Boris Johnson. And the following day, they back-refed the joke.
They did.
So they said, Ian Hislop did
it. It goes deeper than I ever imagined.
Oh, yeah. You've got to watch every episode. Otherwise,
or not.
You miss key plot points.
Can I just not watch every... Can I watch none?
Just opt
please?
Out.
They
please.
Sort of
opt out.
Previously.
How did they call back to it?
They said, well, Ian did a joke about Boris.
Wow.
And today, we're going to be asking the people of Nuneaton. What they think.
Where I grew
Boris
up.
Johnson. Is it?
So this was what made it more exciting for me.
You've had a lot of luck recently on the one show.
Oh,
yesterday,
yeah.
You take your luck where you can find it on the one show.
Yeah. Last week, they went to your sister's place of residence
Hinckley.
To order a takeaway.
But here's the thing. Hinckley, not far from Nuneaton. So, the pool of casting a net is very small.
I was really amazed because I thought, well, they're obviously going to have to do a little bit of BBC balance if they're asking people about Boris Johnson. Did they fuck? So,
but they got to Nuneaton. I think there's a different kind of rule for the one show, right? Because what is anything?
There are no rules.
Yeah.
So they went to Nuneaton because Boris Johnson went to Eton. So they'd gone to Nuneaton. That was the connection.
Really?
That's
a stretch, man.
A stretch at best.
A big stretch.
At best.
Everyone they spoke to, bar one person, really slagged him off.
What?
So the opening lady, she said this.
I don't think much of him.
Why not?
Just the sight of him.
Now,
that raises problems in itself.
The one person who said, I quite like him, opened up by saying, well, right, I'm right wing, so I did agree with him.
Well, I'm personally right-wing, so I like him. But I don't know all of his policies, but I will say I did agree with his last thing he got into trouble with.
The suicide vest thing?
No, the burqa.
They cut away from him really quick. He didn't get to say much about it, did he?
No,
but I bet he did to the reporter. I mean, I'm from Nuneaton. I know what they're like.
I was.
You want to see the offcuts?
Yeah.
I was
hot for
a
TV.
Little bit disappointed that at 7 p.m. on BBC One, you have someone go, I'm right-winger, I thought he was right about that burqa. And it doesn't cut back with them going, well, apologies, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to that prick. You know, it would have been nice to sort of see people not, you know, accepting
but
this.
But you're looking for coherence in a thing that is devoid of form.
It is chaotic.
It's not so much that it's devoid of form, it's devoid of scale. That's what really impressed me and really scrambled my little noodle up. There was no scale to anything that is said or isn't said on that show. And nothing's ever finished. I mean, you know this is why we talk, right? Nothing's ever finished, resolved, explained, mulled on in any sense. Like, there's nothing for me to grasp on. It's just a miasma of things.
There's something so funny about seeing someone's first reaction to watching the one show and thinking about it. And when Andy sits here and his brain is
coming
out of his ears.
But it is. And in that, you know, in that way alone, I suppose it's impressive. It's like someone's made Agent Orange, but in a different form. It's not not an achievement of sorts, but just is it a good thing for people? I don't know.
All I was doing was watching that Nuneaton film going, it's just next to the George Eliot statue. Oh, look, it's next to the closed down Wilco.
Is that just a local interest piece?
It was for me. Yeah. I was just going, oh, that's where I did my work experience there.
I used to love that as a kid when people used to like come round. They'd always be so excited if like where you lived had been mentioned on the news. They'd be over the moon. You see they were hatching on the news last night, you see it, did you?
Hatch end. Yeah, well,
you know, someone hit the railway bridge. It was reported on. They had to shut it, didn't they? People love
I've seen
that
bridge. I know that bridge.
I think we mentioned this before, but there is definitely something in just having a television show on at 7:30 where you say, tonight we're going to Runcorn. And it just being half an hour of hidden camera footage of Runcorn.
You mean that you're pitching this as an idea?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's one show going to steal, you know, my production notes. Why don't they steal my big concepts?
The Nuneaton thing, though, I was sort of from Nuneaton, right? So I have a certain affinity going, yeah, I grew up in Nuneaton, you know, it's shit. But it's, you know, I grew up there. So I have a certain protective affinity. And they just did this film to mock people. Well, not all people from Nuneaton are rotten-toothed, tracksuit, chavvy fuckwits, right? 90% of them, yeah, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And why they had my mum on doing it.
Okay. I've got an idea for you, right? What story would you do on Nuneaton for a one-show segment?
Well, it's George Eliot, isn't it? George Eliot and Larry Grayson. Well, Nuneaton's got good things.
What is it with these gender-fluid people from Nuneaton?
But, no, it can't be a historical piece. Everyone's got a historical thing. It's Britain. It's Britain! That's what we do.
Yeah.
If you're investigating something in Nuneaton now, what would you investigate?
Yeah, well, you're right. There's nothing.
No, that wasn't my point. I don't know what my point was. What are we doing?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering, the bigger questions it's inspired in me are like, what is worth talking about or investigating? Because when I see these pieces, I don't know. In the Monday one, there was a story about a man who was paralysed from the neck down. And, you know, that's not good. And, you know, I can only have sympathies for him. But the story was, and he likes using a drone.
He bought a drone.
Especially modified drone. And he films landscape. So it's like his eyes to the outer world now, right?
Yeah.
Because he sits on a hillside and goes... And I was like... Yeah, I couldn't be happier for him, but I'm not sure it's a thing that I should be watching on TV.
And I think at the moment, the one show is in a funny position where, speaking with authority, as the only person who's watched more than 10 this year, it's in a funny position where half of the films they show are like things you'd be shown at training meetings for specific industries.
Very specific.
The fishing industry, the power industry.
The sky fishing.
And the other
industry.
Half are just things that your mum would say. So I was chatting with Auntie Olwyn the other day. David's not very well, but he's bought a drone.
Right. Yeah.
And then you send the film crew to do it.
My question is always just why, I think. Why show? That's what it should be called.
Yeah. I mean, the Nuneaton one I liked because I do like that classic TV trope of saying, people of Britain... Open your mouths and don't think too much about it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want those people, Nuneaton's your place.
Yeah. Well, there was a lady just at the end.
Was this in the scooter?
Yeah.
In the mobility scooter?
She was heading off. Yeah. And I think she sort of went, well, I don't really have an opinion on him. Anyway, off a pip. Come on, Mum. That for me was...
It was like being transported back. You get right on my pip.
Right, right on my pip.
Yeah, but then she just said, apropos of nothing, to the report, she went, okay, me bab, see ya.
Oh, was it? Okay, me bab.
Okay, me bab. Oh. See ya. And rode up.
I can't stand him.
You can't stand him? Why not?
No, he gets on me pip. Okay, okay my bab. See ya.
Cheers. Tootled off on a mobility
scooter. Sounds like I missed a good app.
Oh, you did. But then they went back to the studio.
I know.
Where they were all laughing at Nuneaton.
I know. And
all of them. Fuckers. Nuneaton. Look at us in our metropolitan elite London bubble. Look at those thick fuckers in Nuneaton.
Well, I think, fair to say, we'll be back to speak to the people of Nuneaton another time, because they are golden.
Yeah, not holding back.
Here came you, bab. Fucking idiots. That was the tone of it.
You can take the boy out of Nuneaton.
Oriya
Duba did say, we're definitely going to go back to the people of Nuneaton, because that was gold.
Yeah,
he said these people are golden.
They're not sea lice on a slide for you to amuse you, all right?
Martin Clunes, who was a guest on it, along with Claudia Jesse.
Yeah.
From Vanity Fair, the ITV thing, yeah. So they were pissing themselves at Nuneaton.
Weren't they?
Oh, they didn't like that. Look at Nuneaton.
It's worth saying, Martin Clunes is the perfect guest for shows
so
like this.
Good.
He is absolutely flawless as a guest. He looks like he's happy to be there. He looks like he's having fun.
Smiling all the time.
Smiling all the time. Everything he says is charming.
See, now I didn't see him, but I would say that Josh Groban, I didn't enjoy his music, or I didn't enjoy him very much at all, but I thought I did appreciate that he was a very gracious guest.
Yeah.
I think he elevated the general proceedings.
I think that's slightly it, isn't it? Is if you go on and try and be cool, which no one does because they don't really book those people anymore. I should imagine they've had Razor Light on at some point in the past and they've been a bit shirty.
Razor.
I was trying to think of the band of today, John.
But there was a bit when Hislop, he said something which I think, I like trying to reverse engineer what people are thinking or like why a writer wrote a particular line. Hislop says this thing. He got the phrase pussy hat into his discourse about this.
You say the phrase pussy hat.
Well, it is.
What's a pussy hat?
You don't know what a pussy hat is?
No, I've not heard the hat bit on the end. I've heard it like pussy clart and
have you?
Like,
a pussy what?
Clart.
Have you?
Yeah, what's pussy hat?
What's pussy clart?
What's pussy hat?
I'll tell you if you tell me.
No, you said pussy hat first. I want to know.
Show me yours.
Well,
and I'll show you. Pussy galore.
Pussy hat is what the protesters in America wore. They knitted like pink.
Oh, yeah. Okay, pussy riot hats.
Yeah. But he just called it a pussy hat, right? I thought we were at that stage. What's a pussy clart? Anyway, right? And but no, he's talking about the exhibition he's curating at the British Museum, right?
Yeah.
And it's about dissent and protest through the ages. So it's quite a serious exhibition. So he says, so it's everything from this thing back in Babylonian times to the pussy hats in the Trump era. And everyone gasped a bit, right? Now, I saw that as Hislop saying to himself, I've been invited onto the one show. It's a bit ignoble, but I'm going to justify it by showing that they can't tame me.
Also, he's talking about censorship.
Yes.
And there is a thing of going, well, we all know these words. Let's be adult about it and say it.
Yeah.
And of course, then the one show will go...
They did. You could almost hear the ani of the production crew sucking in and clenching at where... And obviously in Matt and Alex's ears go, move on, mate. He said pussy hat. Move on. It's 25 past seven. Move on.
I just think that was a personal victory for Hislop. And he knew it for himself. And he was sort of... I've done that then, so I can look myself in the face tomorrow.
Although he probably has been, because he's doing this thing.
Look yourself in the face, sorry.
He's been obviously looking
at a mirror,
these things, and you get used to calling it the pussy hat, but it is just as well he didn't say pussy clart. That would have been absolutely unacceptable.
Well, he knows what side his bread's buttered.
Clunes, though.
What a repulsive image.
Clunes would never say pussy hat on the one show, Martin Clunes. And the inclusive nature of what I like about Martin Clunes, and I think you're absolutely right, you've touched upon it perfectly there, is that he is willing to go along with anything they throw at him.
Yeah.
And not just nod or join in slightly like most guests do. He throws himself into it.
100%.
So that they blindsided him with a quiz, didn't they? A little quiz.
Yep.
Where they came off Rory Reid, the presenter Rory Reid, was doing the most pointless film I've ever seen about bird songs. So Rory Reid, motoring presenter.
I loved that.
His thing is, he can tell the sound of an engine from a different engine. So because of that skill, they sent him to a wood to find out what bird was singing when, using a couple of new apps that identify birdsong, but with a guy who can identify it faster than an app. That was the gist of it.
And the guy was going to say whether or not the app was accurate
or exactly not. Exactly right. So they did that, and it was boring as fuck.
I thought this was brilliant. It was great because this didn't work. So they were at this app, and something sort of went twit-twoo, and the guy looked at the phone, and he said, it says there's a 41% chance it's a great tit. And the man opposite went... No. And he went, 25% pheasant? And I went, no. And there was, they were in this pitch
black... It's a mouse.
They were in this pitch black wood at 4:13 in the morning, proving these apps don't really work.
Also, we're in the middle of nowhere, and one runs off 3G.
Yes.
It's like it's not going to... He's sitting there just watching it spinning.
There was a bit where seven birds in a row were named, all followed by the word no.
Which makes me wonder if they ever film segments which they don't use.
Very, very casual.
Hard to say, right?
Oh.
Goldfinch?
No.
Chaffinch?
No.
Blackcap?
No.
Nightingale?
No.
Robin?
No.
Nuthatch?
No.
Dunnock?
No.
Willow Warbler?
No.
Blue Tit?
No.
Wren?
No.
They came off the back of it, and then they said, so that's Rory Reid talking about listening to birds. So here's the question. Just how good is Martin Clunes at identifying dogs? It's a handbrake turn of sorts.
Yeah. And not identifying them by sight.
No.
But by sound.
Yeah.
By
dog.
Bite.
A dog from...
So we're going to set a number of dogs onto Martin. Yeah, he's got a blindfold. and he's got
Is this a big dog? Yes. Well yes, done.
Is this a painful dog?
Oh, they're all painful dogs, yeah. Martin. Try again.
It's a very painful dog.
And this one's got rabies.
He did that really well. And actually, what was funny about it is he got all three right.
Did he?
Yeah.
What were the dogs? Do you remember?
The dogs were one from Doc Martin, yeah, one from a documentary he'd
so
made in
this
Australia.
This was specific dogs
that he'd
dogs
worked
oh,
with.
Oh, shit. This wasn't like, this is a Great Dane and that's a Chihuahua. No, no.
They went, who's this dog? This is,
oh, that's Terry.
It was. They were like his pals.
Oh, God.
This time we want you to identify some of your canine co-stars, yes, just from their barks. You've okay got three options: Vanity Fair, Doc Martin, and one of your documentaries. Okay?
Okay.
First, don't you do that. First up, here it is.
That's Dodger.
You think? Is
yeah
that Dodger?
Yeah.
Is absolutely the right answer. It's Dodger from Doc Martin.
Yes!
Good start.
Good for you.
Good start, Martin.
Okay, next one, a little bit more tricky. Here we go.
Oh, that's a singing dingo in Alice Springs in Australia. What was it, Dinky?
It was Dinky!
Claudia Jessie helped out with the last one where she very quickly said, oh, that's a human voice. And you could see everyone sort of going, oh, don't wreck it, love. But Claudia Jessie, I've worked with Claudia Jessie before. She is absolutely one of the great actresses of her generation. She is so good.
She came across very well
she
on a programme where
brilliant
she clearly didn't want to be either.
But
well,
they asked her, I think, three questions in the half hour. And one of those questions was, you really love the costumes, don't you? And I thought, you wouldn't ask that of Martin fucking Clunes. Don't ask it.
But did they ask it
Jessie
like that, though?
Really, they did. It was
very leading.
It really was.
Did you like the costume?
And Claudia Jessie, who is absolutely great, actually went, no, I wouldn't actually go that strong. Uh-huh. They're actually very painful to wear. Uh-huh. And I just thought, it's a shame in this day and age where you go, we've got one question, really, for the lady who's on the sofa. Ask her about the clobber. She'll be interested in that.
But they
she'll talk and talk.
But the question was basically, you're a bird, aren't you?
I know.
Yes or no? Yes, thank you.
If you're a bird, Rory Reid could identify you in a wood.
Is it Charlize Theron? No. Is it Bella Emberg? No.
At the beginning of that Martin Clunes episode, my heart did sink, though. The first thing they said, welcome to The One Show. We're going to be talking today, again, about single-use plastic.
Oh, I know. This fucking thing again.
Again!
My God, have they done that a lot?
I mean, the irony of plastic being single-use, yet the subject being used almost on a constant basis.
They mentioned
clogging up the air with oceans.
They mentioned the time when they filled Broadcasting House's outside area with junk plastic.
Yeah.
And when they did it at the time, that got no traction in the press. And they mentioned it for the next week, and they're still going on about it. Obviously, a thing that they're very proud of as event TV.
They're just trying to get a scrap of relevance. You know what it is, right? It's like when a toddler goes, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. You didn't see the good bit. You didn't see it, Mum. You didn't see it. So they just have to keep coming back to it, clearly, because they think they had something that meant something.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, that must be upsetting for them.
Yeah,
the
I
one
agree
show is essentially the nation's toddler.
there was a very, very boring little piece before that about the laying of a giant undersea cable from Northumberland pay attention, boys, all the way to Norway. And again, this was like being in a job where you work in renewable energies and you're watching a thing that your corporate department is having to do PR for. I don't know why I was being made to watch it.
No.
They had a weird thing where they were talking about the weight of this cable, which is just one continuous cable that goes through from Northumberland to Norway. They thought, obviously, well, we don't just say the tonnage. That's meaningless, isn't it? So they came up with a new unit of measurement, which is this cable weighs the same as 20 Angels of the North.
That usual scale of measurement that they use.
Mum, we're going to make a cake. Have you got 1,040th of an Angel of the North?
Is it an angel cake?
Oh.
I did
it's big. It's probably quite heavy.
The childish snigger when... Well, the man asked the question in the film. He was talking to a man in a hard hat about the cable. And he just said, how do you float a cable? And I just did a childish, he's done a poo laugh.
Right, because, in fairness,
that actual film turned out to be a load of shit.
But hold on, because there's the float thing going on, and then there's laying a cable. Laying a cable, and there's the float. So the conflation of all that just makes you think of poo-poos.
Exactly. Yeah, that's more or less what happened.
Yeah, just to be clear. Unpacking that, yeah. Okay, carry on, guys.
He said unpacking it like a compacted shit.
Yeah, I did, yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Okay. So, could I just say, right, you guys go to America sometimes, right? As soon as you get to America, when you go to the toilet, it's an anaconda that comes out. Have you noticed? I don't know how it happens. It must be something in the air.
Everything's bigger in the States.
It's unbelievable. They carry on.
Carry on. Are you auditioning
for the one-show film?
I think there'd be a pretty good film out of that.
Now, why is it when you travel abroad, but you often do a shit beside your arm?
They'd never take a camera crew to America. They'd do it in Nuneaton. And it wouldn't work. It would be like the Bird App thing all over again.
He's away. Absolutely delighted.
And for me, that was the most exciting picture of the week, just because of what they kept saying.
Oh God!
The cable's so big, we've got tugboats to pull it into shape. Oh, have you? Brilliant.
Enough with your analysis, Mark. It's back to the poof bar.
They're making the one show solely for John Holmes.
More like the two. Carry on. Oh, he loves it, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. And there, I think we should probably leave it.
On a heart lifting, warming moment.
What a joy.
I got goosebumps.
Dave, put the fan down. Andy, thank you very much indeed. Andy Stanton there, Mark, as ever. Remember this first. Rate and review. We never say this, but people keep listening to this, going, tell them to rate and review. It's the way the podcasts work.
All you have to do is click the little bit on the top of the iTunes that has the 5 stars. Don't bother if you're going to give 4, 3, 2, or 1. We only really want 5.
Because we say this, of course, because there's an endless sea of podcasts swirling about now like a Russian spy's lies. And we do genuinely value your listening choice. I think they say now, is it right, you're never more than a metre away from someone who's got their own podcast now?
Well, that's certainly the case in this room.
So remember, when you look at the television to look at the one show always looks back into you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way.
I mean, if we're talking lacquer, we need to go back to Polly, who's got 28 cans of Elmet.
Dawn. It was definitely feeling horrible that you hadn't done your homework.
Yeah. Obviously, Lynn is immediately in a bikini. It's a freezing day in, I'm guessing, February.
I was going to say that swing pool looks f***ing freezing.
You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I think it's brilliant.
Jack still feels very much at sea. I can't help reaching for these puns. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's important.
He doesn't really acknowledge how grave...
What an ocean of trouble.
Thank you.
It is.
This is why we got you on. You're bloody free.
That's all I've got. I'm leaving now.
Available from your usual podcast supplier. Find us on Twitter at AlwaysTherePod.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.